Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lowdown podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, joined by nobody, which makes this a Lakers Lowdown. I'm joined by you guys. And you know what? On that note, shouts to Lakers Sean here with the super comment. Ham doesn't know how to use timeouts. 15-2 run in the first, no timeout. Then lets them score 21 points to the Lakers 5 before calling a timeout in the third. Meanwhile, Vogel called a timeout on a 6-point Laker run. Shaking my head. You know what, Laker Sean? I'm shaking my head as well. I have been shaking my head all year. As it pertains to that that particular gripe. Apologies for my voice. But yeah, I think, and look, the first quote that we get from Darvin right after the game is what? The Lakers need to man up, according to Darvin. Which, yeah, sure. When you're already on tenuous footing with a bunch of like professional athletes, some of the most competitive people on the planet, you want to like question their manhood? It's one thing when Byron used to say that about, after games with the Lakers, he was saying that about a young team, and he was saying it about like everybody but Kobe on that team. But imagine telling a Kobe team, a veteran Kobe team, y'all need to man up. You weren't manly enough in that game. And especially given all of the questions about him as a coach that still exist, right? Like, one of my topics here was going to be, this is why those questions still remain about Darvin, is a loss like this. The Lakers are still, look, they won those two games in a row. But when you think about it, Norm Powell got a look to tie your, I think it was to go ahead in that game. It went in and out. So let's say he makes that shot. The Lakers got 23 free throws to 2 in the fourth quarter against Toronto. Let's say the refereeing is a little differently. It goes differently in that game. And you go into this game having lost every game basically in this January that you were supposed to rack up wins with. And then you get blown out the way that the Lakers did here against not just like the Phoenix Suns. They're a super talented team. They are going to do this to a bunch of teams over the course of the year. But to Frank Vogel and the Phoenix Suns, you guys think it's a coincidence that Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal were up off, like still playing midway through the fourth quarter as the Suns were up like 30 on the Lakers? You think that's a coincidence? Probably not. You know, there's a lot that I have to get to here in this game. But to me, like starting your press conference, given all of the questions about you as a head coach, starting that with questions about manhood, not exactly how I would have handled it. So the final here, 127-109, the Phoenix Suns go into LA and beat the Lakers. The Suns improved to 20-18. The Lakers fall to 19-20. The totals in this one, certainly interesting. You have LeBron sitting at 10 points in this game. So that streak remains alive. Anthony Davis finishes with 13. And, you know, just for context, Skylar Mays. So he outscores LeBron in this one. That's certainly interesting. It's a nationally televised game. LeBron playing that way strikes me as interesting. And before I continue rambling, we have a guest. This is great. I'm going to have to change the background, but this is great. Sabrina, how you doing? You good?
I'm not going to lie. I watched
the topic I was just hitting on a second ago was it's interesting that in a nationally televised game, LeBron was this kind of disinterested going up against that particular team, that particular head coach, given all the noise surrounding this. I'm just going to say it. I had clips sent to me. There were some people at the game against their most recent win against, I believe it was Toronto. And it was like the people that I was talking to who were at that game were like, man, LeBron really doesn't interact with Darvin Ham. And then I asked around to see like if that is a trend, and they were like, oh, you thought that was bad? The Clippers game was even worse, where Darvin's like trying to like write up the, you know, he's calling these timeouts and like LeBron's just kind of like staring off into the distance. And you have the compliments that he's giving to Tyronn Lue, the compliments that he's giving to Eric Spoelstra, and then he doesn't essentially play in this game, keeps his team alive, but like didn't really participate in this game. I know I'm adept when it comes to or quick to jump to grab my tinfoil hat, but like, are you connecting dots here too?
So during the Toronto game the other day, or maybe it was the Clipper game, I was talking with a friend of mine, and I was just sort of saying like LeBron just gets bored sometimes and like craves drama, you know, and this is sort of like, oh, you know, it's been such and such time since an event happened. Let's have some fun here. But the energy today was so weird. Like how many just odd LeBron pull-ups were there in transition, like without attempting to pass to anyone, even though like the jumper wasn't really there. There's the terrible layups that were just missing left and right. I mean, obviously he was going to get his 10 points. Like, let's be clear. That streak is the only thing that's left at this point. But yeah, just super disinterested LeBron. I haven't seen the post-game quotes yet. Did he say anything nice about Frank? Has he spoken post-game? Is that going to happen? Like,
it'd be great if he was just like, I missed that guy. Like LeBron, LeBron's going to tweet out like, remember the Wolverine meme? Remember the Wolverine meme where he's like in his bed? He's like looking. He's going to send out a picture. Like looking at that meme with Frank in it. I found this really interesting. And again, like I know that I am susceptible to narratives and narrative analysis and all that stuff and body language analysis and things of that nature. But this was interesting. This was a TNT game. The Lakers, you would think, are turning the vibes around. But remember when they beat the Clippers, right? And they're like, LeBron, what does this do for the vibes in the locker room? What does this say about what you guys? He's like, it's one game. Like, what are you talking about? And it was like, and then earlier this season, they're like, hey, LeBron, what did you think? Like, what happened in the in-season tournament that isn't happening now? He's like, those were two games. And he basically keeps on pointing to the larger data sample being that, yeah, we kind of suck. Like, outside of a stretch where, you know, we had $500,000 to gain from it, we haven't been a very good basketball team. And I find that really interesting. I find all of this fascinating. I'm not going to go so far. No, I will. I have heard that LeBron is kind of out on him. Like I've heard that like LeBron is kind of like, yeah, he's all right. You know, he's fine. Would it shock you if he was like, he's a second year head coach.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I mean, couple things. One, I always feel like LeBron does a good job of being a steward of the league, right? Like he understands when, you know, the NBA needs him to help prop something up, like with the tournament or like, you know, he plays hard in national TV games. He understands like, if I'm going up against Kevin Durant, this is a big deal. You know, there's only so many opportunities we have to do this for the rest of our careers. I feel like he understands moment better than a lot of other guys in the NBA, and whatever is going on, he does try to be a good face of the league, a good, you know, ambassador of the league. And it's weird that, like you said, a TNT game when just horrible games going on left and right otherwise on Thursday. All eyes on the Lakers.
Poor Ernie Johnson didn't even have a game to throw to.
For him to no-show like this is very strange to me. But yeah, just the way that he's behaving, I have no other explanation other than he's just tired of this team. And it's weird to me that he is so out on Ham, because I realize it's not a very large sample size of success for Darvin Ham, but he did push some good buttons to get the Lakers to the conference finals last year. Like, it wasn't, he wasn't like anti that process, right? Like, I understand the players get the lion's share of the credit.
Sabrina apparently is having some technical difficulties. But yeah, it is interesting, right? It has to be interesting that we kind of find ourselves here. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to hide Sabrina for a second so that she isn't stuck there. But no, I can't help but combine all of these. All right, sorry. I'm a little discombobulated, but essentially, one of the people that I always have on the show pretty regularly, especially when like LeBron is up to stuff like this, is George Sedano. And the other day, as all of this stuff is going on, George texted me and he was like, "Hey, you know, you're seeing this too, right? You're seeing this too." And the line that George always drops about basically LeBron in these spots is like, he doesn't just drop breadcrumbs. If he feels the need, if he feels like he has to, he drops the whole loaf. And unfortunately, by the way, Sabrina isn't going to be able to keep up the show. Her power just went out. So Sabrina, hope you're safe. But like, yeah, I find myself when all of this is going on, like at no point did LeBron or anybody for that matter speak up for Darvin Ham with everything that, you know, all of the rumors about like his relationship with Austin Reeves, the notion of you know, tension in the locker room or a lack of trust in the locker room between the players and the coach. At no point did anybody like step up and be like, "No, Darvin is our guy. We stand with him 100%. We all have to figure this out together." Like, we never got any of those quotes. Raj pointed that out the other night, and I was like, "What do you want, guys, to lie?" And that's kind of where we kind of find ourselves. And I think tonight, you combine the way that LeBron plays in this one and the quote that immediately comes out from Darvin about, you know, the you know, manhood and we didn't man up and all that stuff. It's very Byron-esque. Every time I see that phrase, I'm like, I get like PTSD from the Byron era. And yeah, like it's impossible to not connect these dots. So what we're going to do is I'm going to go ahead and get back to the game and kind of regather myself. And we'll look at some of the specifics of this game, because I do think, even though it's a blowout and even though it's hard to really draw any conclusions from that type of a blowout, I do think there are some things of note there that, you know, the Lakers are going to have to address here moving forward. First and foremost, I had just recorded an Anthony Davis appreciation episode yesterday, not the one that I did with Aaron, that was about the trade rumors and all that stuff, but like, I guess it was two shows ago, the Anthony Davis appreciation app. And in this one, you know, he finishes 13.6 of 11 from the field, five rebounds, an assist, a steal, and two blocks. And like, while the game was close, was just not a factor. And it was really clear that the Suns were going to do everything that they could to make life as difficult on AD as possible. And they wanted to keep Yusuf Nurkic out of foul trouble. That has been kind of a trend here, as the Lakers to this point had beaten Phoenix, I think, three or four times in a row. In this one, Phoenix adjusted and did a lot more pre-rotating, did a lot different things defensively to make life more difficult on the Lakers, trying to get the ball even to Anthony Davis. And it kind of took him out of the game. And at no point did we see any kind of adjustment. You know, the closest thing that we saw to it was essentially Austin running a lot more pick and roll with AD to try to get the ball directly to him. But when the other team is pre-rotating to make those things difficult and has enough length to bother Austin Reeves, Austin didn't play very well here again tonight. You know, whatever adjustments the Lakers were trying to make just didn't pan out. And I think, you know, the thing that I gave them credit for the other night against Toronto, that again, it just doesn't happen here, is the other night the Lakers went away from AD and then went back to him. And AD has that dominant fourth period. In this one, the Lakers just like never got him going. And as soon as Phoenix made it difficult to get him the ball, the Lakers were just like, well, okay, I guess we're just going to take some more difficult shots here. And this is the thing that, like, you know, really has bothered me over the course of the season, is like, there is just never any building on success. It's what LeBron said the other day when he was like, when he was talking about the game that the Lakers beat the Clippers in, and then eventually also the game that they beat the Raptors in. He was like, yeah, we need to, you feel like you have to learn more from losses than from wins, but you also have to carry forward some good habits. And the Lakers in these ones just don't learn from the good things that they do. They have that in-season tournament run. And yeah, like LeBron is making a fair point when he says that's a small sample size, comparatively speaking. But like also, there were good things that the Lakers were doing that they just like stopped doing the very next game. They played the Dallas Mavericks and immediately went away from the suffocating defense and all of that stuff to try to execute in the way that they were in other regular season games, and it didn't work out. And I don't think they have found their footing ever since. And you know, you go through, you have a great win like you have against the Clippers. The Clippers are playing great basketball. You beat them. You have another good win against the Toronto Raptors that are also playing good basketball since they made their trade as well. And you think, all right, what can we learn from here? And what can we build on here moving forward? And none of it takes place. None of it. And that's what makes this season so frustrating, is every single time they show you who they could possibly be, the next time you see them play, you don't know who you're getting. And in this one was a really bad example, or unfortunately a really good example of that inconsistency. I talked about the weird LeBron and AD game. And you know, I guess there's not much else to add to it. So instead of talking about the weird LeBron and AD game, what I am going to talk about is Darvin Ham. And essentially, and I'm going to be careful with the words that I use here, because I guess people are kind of upset with me in the walls of the Lakers facility with the amount that I'm reporting on this subject. But Darvin Ham, again, as I've painted the picture here is pretty clear that I keep on painting. People at the very top of the organization who have a vested interest in keeping Darvin Ham around are all very loudly supportive of Darvin Ham. Jeannie Buss, Rob Pelinka, right? Jeannie Buss, he's in the second year of a four-year deal. She doesn't want dead money on the books. And she also, if they fire Darvin Ham and acknowledge that Rob Pelinka got this one wrong too, now there's questions starting, you know, more questions about the job that Rob Pelinka keeps on doing.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rob Pelinka doesn't want those questions about him either. So those two people at the very top of the organization are bought into Darvin Ham. And it's not to say that they don't actually believe in him. I think they do. But also self-preservation is a giant factor when it comes to the way that the Lakers operate, especially at that level. And in this case, those two people have a lot of self-preservation because, by the way, if Genie acknowledges that at least in this respect, Rob Pelinka hasn't done the best job. This is his third head coach in 5 years or so of being in charge. If she acknowledges this, she then has to start to cede power to Jesse and Joey Buss. And I don't think she wants to do that. So that is something you always have to keep in mind with Darvin Ham and the conversations and the reporting that comes out about Darvin Ham. In this game, you had Chris Haynes talking about how Darvin is very thankful that everybody is united behind him and all that stuff. And as that was going on, I was on playback on All Access Lakers, and I'm like, that's not true. And look, maybe Chris has access to different information, or maybe he's just relaying a Darvin Ham quote. Altogether possible on all of those fronts, but that is not the case. The organization is kind of split when it comes to Darvin Ham. Basketball ops people, and by the way, I talk about the vested interest that Rob and Genie have in Darvin succeeding. Same can be said about Darvin failing, and how people in the organization see an opportunity here if Darvin is no longer there. So if I have to acknowledge both sides of that equation here, because they do even each other out to a certain extent. But this game and this response from LeBron and AD specifically, again, points to, especially with LeBron, because again, like I said to Aaron today, AD is a lot more happy-go-lucky. He just kind of wants to show up and he hoops. He is very competitive in all of those things, but he doesn't really kind of bother himself with, like, do I need to get this coach fired or whatever. LeBron, that is not the case. LeBron, I don't think LeBron likes being coached in general. I think that's worth pointing out as well. But with Darvin in particular, the compliments of the other coaches and no showing in this setting is very loud to me. And now, once again, the Lakers find themselves below 500, and they find themselves below 500 with a mostly healthy roster. After the game, you had Darvin saying how they need to get Rui back and they need to get Cam up to 100% and all those things, whatever. I still think it's a lame thing to keep on trying to fall back on and make excuses for yourself here. But for the sake of the reporting that I have done on this front and the way that guys in that locker room and the way that people in the basketball operations side of things feel about Darvin Ham, this game is very loud. And the Lakers record right now is very loud. And the Lakers are a bounce away from a Norman Powell shot that he does hit quite often, and a few free throws potentially away from being 0 for January. And if they're 0 for January and they lose this way to that team and that coach, shit gets very, very complicated very quickly. And again, I don't think he's anywhere close to getting fired. I would be pretty surprised. Things would have to go really, really poorly for Darvin to get fired. But this game says a lot. This game and the silence from the team about Darvin as all of that stuff was going on, says a lot about his actual standing with the people who work with him on a day-to-day basis. I do want to spend a little bit of time here because I do think Frank got a raw deal, and he continues to get a raw deal when, like, the reporting about the job that Darvin is doing is that, like, Jeannie Buss was angry at Frank not being able to make Russell Westbrook work, and not being able to get more out of that situation than he was able to while Russ was a Laker. I contend that no coach would have been able to do that. I'm sure that Phil Jackson gave her all kinds of input on how he would make it work and why, however Frank was falling short there. And that made Jeannie feel a certain way about Frank. But I'm telling you, Russell Westbrook at $47 million, not being able to coexist on the basketball court with LeBron and with AD, that was not tenable. That was not sustainable. And it imploded in the way that I anticipated it would implode. And no, I don't think Frank did a particularly great job even within those parameters. But still, the fact that they're still shitting on this guy now that he's been gone for 2 years for that stuff says a lot, I think, about the way that the Lakers kind of operate. And it's kind of ugly, frankly. But late in this one, you have Kevin Durant in, and you have Bradley Beal in. You had Devin Booker play 34 minutes in a game that the Suns were up by 20 midway through the third period. Kevin Durant played 32 minutes. Bradley Beal played 32 minutes. They could have easily played 20-ish minutes in this one, and the Suns would have won comfortably. But I do think that Frank and those guys, I think those guys probably wanted to keep on playing. But I do kind of think that Frank probably rather enjoyed, especially given that most recent report about him, keeping those guys in. And you know what? Good for him. That's fine. You know, I honestly am. Now, I think it's stupid. Don't get me wrong. Those guys, like Bradley Beal, has been in and out of the lineup all year this year. Kevin Durant has injury concerns of his own. Same goes for Devin Booker, for that matter. I personally would not have done that way. But I also, given the way things ended with the Lakers, given what they keep saying and keep leaking about this guy now, I kind of respect the pettiness. I'm glad that he didn't get bit for it. Aside from that, though, I guess what I will say as we kind of embark on the next game, the Lakers play the Utah Jazz today is Thursday. So Saturday they play Utah. Utah is playing great basketball. They basically benched Talen Horton-Tucker and took off. And they beat the shit out of the Denver Nuggets the other night. They, I think, have a win recently against Milwaukee and maybe also against the Celtics. I think they blew out the Celtics. They are playing great basketball right now. And the Lakers are still on this roller coaster because they can't build on their wins. And again, you know, the Lakers, the Jazz, by the way, have the same record as the Lakers right now. So you could be leapfrogged by the Jazz if that game doesn't go very well for you. Look, they might have surpassed us based on tiebreakers and stuff like that. I think it's too early to take tiebreakers into account. But in terms of just raw wins and losses, if the Lakers lose to the Jazz on Friday or on Saturday, they would be in some trouble. They would be behind the Jazz, and they would continue this kind of free-for-all down the standings as they try to climb their way back into the play-in range. So it is a daunting task ahead of them. The Jazz, I think, match up very well with the Lakers. Walker Kessler's a big, like, bulking physical big that gives AD some issues sometimes. Now, the Lakers could get him into foul trouble because of how much the Jazz rely on him defensively. But the Jazz do some really cool things offensively. They have kind of found their identity and gotten back to the basketball that they were playing last year, unlike the Lakers. And it is going to be a tough one. I think the Jazz, if you look at the standings, the Jazz, I believe, have played, they have, I think, the best Yeah, so in their last 10, the Jazz are 8-2. That is for everybody in the Western Conference, that is better than everybody over their last 10. So they're playing great basketball. The Lakers can't afford to keep this slide going, given some of the games ahead of them here in January. And, I wish I felt more confident in the Lakers. I just don't. Here's the thing. I don't know how to feel about the Lakers on a night in, night out basis. Nobody does. Coming into this one, I was like, should I bet on them? And I've basically stayed away from them for most of the season because I just don't know what you're getting. And, the only consistency to this season has been the inconsistency. I guess the only other inconsistency or the only other consistency that the Lakers have had this season is kind of like consistent on the wrong side of things. So it's a big game that they have on Saturday. It's a big couple days here for Darvin. And the quotes that come out of this one are going to be worth keeping an eye on. But like starting post-game reaction with they need to man up is a continuation of the frustrations that I have reported all year long from these guys, that every time that the Lakers lose, it's on the players to, with some intangible physical thing that they need to be able to do better. And then the excuses for the injuries. If that's how you're going to start this thing and that's how you're going to hold, you aren't going to hold yourself accountable. You're a leader. And if you're the people that you are leading, know that you will never, ever, ever hold yourself accountable. You're a dead man walking. And I was hoping after like the film session that we got that would be kind of the end of post-game pressers like this, but apparently it wasn't. And we'll see what the Lakers' response to these quotes are going to be. I don't think they're going to be great. That is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lowdown Podcast. Shouts to Sabrina for trying to come on the show. That it was fun while we had her on. That just means I'm going to have to get her on another time. But we have one more show this week. I will be doing a happy hour tomorrow afternoon. So tune in live on YouTube. Make sure you guys are subscribed on YouTube to ensure that you don't miss that show as well. If you missed any of this, subscribe everywhere that you get your podcasts, and specifically Odyssey, to make sure you're tuned in to us there as well. And yeah, until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you